International.
Ici Radio Canada. This is Canada.
This is Radio Nederland, the Dutch World Broadcasting System in Hilversum, Holland.
You're tuned to Swiss Radio International in Bern.
This is Free China as a presentation of the Voice of Free China, the international service of the Broadcasting Corporation of China.
This is Radio Havana, Cuba.
Broadcasting from Cuba, free territory in the Americas.
This is Radio South Africa.
This is Yugoslavia Radio Belgrade calling.
This is Israel broadcasting from Jerusalem.
This is Radio Pyongyang of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
This is the General Overseas Service of the BBC.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome again to another edition of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. Now, in the past, we have talked on the program about how technology has changed. Now, when I started off in radio, if you wanted to go off and do an interview, either you can carry a very large tape recorder with you, and then it became smaller once Sony introduced the TCM5000, as well as UHER models as well. And then, of course, we had the digital age. Yes, portable digital recorders. But today, you don't even have to take that. In fact, you can even use your mobile phone. There's a number of apps out there, including microphones that connect right to the phone that do provide very high-quality recording. So yes, things have dramatically changed. Of course, also the way we do radio. At one time, you'd record it on tape, and then, you'd have to bring the tape to a master control room. But today, you don't even have to do that. You can be in one part of the world, send it by an IP address, and that's it. Now, phone calls. This is something that today, I think many of us take for granted, because calling somebody in another country is extremely easy. All you need to do is dial the country code, city code, and then their phone number. But there was a time when, if you wanted to make an international phone call, there are many places, of course, that you even had to go through an operator. That is almost non-existent. There are still some places, of course, if you want to dial, you have to go through an operator. But even, for example, if I want to call somebody in North Korea, even though people in North Korea don't have phones that can access things internationally, but if I want to call government ministries or the embassies that are located in Pyongyang, North Korea, I could just do it directly. Even no need to go through an operator. So things have changed so much that today we just use Skype, we can use WeChat, we can use Line, even our regular phone. Now, call-in radio programs are nothing unusual. This is a format that's been very popular in places like Canada and the US since the 1950s. But for international broadcasters, it was something almost unheard of. It was almost unheard of because, well, you're talking about making international phone calls where you had to go through operators. And of course, the phone quality was, well, you never know what you were going to expect. But that all changed on October 1st, 1972, when Radio Nederland became the first international broadcaster to actually take live phone calls on the air. We actually managed to find a tape of that broadcast. And here's a little bit of how it sounded. It's with Tom Meyer.
Oh, really? Well, I think I should say, Ray, I think I should say right now to you that we're on the air live, both of us.
We are?
Yes, so you are on the air live in Europe, and I'm on the air live with you in California.
Now, you're doing your Europe show right now, is that right?
I'm doing the Europe show right now. So I would say... Pardon?
Where is it heard in Europe?
It's heard in all European countries, and also some Southeast Asian countries, and in parts of Africa.
Now,
so.
This is broadcast from the Hilversum complex itself, is that right?
That's right, yes. I just told our audience that we are in studio number 5 here, and we are usually in 6. But we're in 5 because that is the studio where we have the telephone set up.
Every once in a while, Tom, I hear Hilversum Direct
but not very often. Of course, here in North America, it's the relay station in Bonaire that we hear so loud and so clear.
Yes.
Put in a signal from Bonaire that's really unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's...
In fact, the caller that just called me a moment ago on the air listens faithfully out in the San Fernando Valley.
Uh-huh. Well, this is a very wonderful feeling to know that listeners in Europe and California are now linked, not only by telephone, but by two radio shows as well. It's a crazy feeling, isn't it?
It certainly is very eerie. how's your relay station in Madagascar, Tom?
Well, it's doing very well, because since it opened, we've had many letters from Africa, and especially South Africa, telling us that reception is very clear, and we've seen that the amount of letters coming from South Africa is getting to be much bigger than it used to be before. Of course, that may sound strange to you to get letters from so far away. How far does your show reach?
Well, of course, we're on the broadcast band, and we don't have shortwave in this country except for our Voice of America, which, of course, is external.
Mm-hmm.
So we're strictly in a regional area. We're heard as far north as Northern California and as far south as San Diego on the border.
That was Tom Meyer speaking to a broadcaster in California at KABC, and it was the first ever live link-up by telephone to somebody from the United States. Now, previously they had done it before, but it was recorded. And of course, if you're recording it, it was a little bit easier, because if you didn't get a good line, you can hang up and then try again. And of course, it was all done through an operator. So you imagine what the sound quality was like. Now, on that show, it was also the first time that they had callers call in. And unlike today, if you call in a radio broadcast live on the air, there's a few things that happen. First, you call a number, and it's picked up in the control room, usually by the producer, who gets the caller's name and then puts it on a screen in front of the person in front of them so they can figure out who they're talking to. But not in these days, the early days of doing it through international broadcasting, where it wasn't. In fact, the phone was in the studio with Tom. And with that, well, this kind of thing can happen.
My friend Pierre Martens from Belgium, whom, of course, I failed to recognize at the beginning. There's another phone call. I was going to say, please wait with your phone call till a record is playing. But let's see who this is. Tom Meyer.
Hello.
Hello, Tom Meyer.
Oui.
Here's a French listener.
Yes.
Mr. Tony Legendre in Château Thierry.
Ah, bonjour, monsieur. Comment ça va? Très bien aussi, comme vous pouvez entendre.
Ah oui, c'est la stéréophonie, parce que je vous entends dans mon appareil téléphonique et dans mon poste de radio dans l'autre oreille.
Ah ah. Alors je crois qu'on doit traduire ça pour nos auditeurs qui parlent seulement l'anglais.
Stéréophonie, I speak now.
Pardon?
How is it translated into English?
Well, it's that you are a French listener who listens to the show every Sunday on his shortwave radio. And your name is Tony Legendre?
Yes, that's right.
Where do you live in France?
In Château Thierry.
Aha, Château Thierry. I think I've passed through there on my way down to Spain once.
Oh, it's a pity you didn't pay me a
visit. Well, yes, of course, but I don't travel with the entire mailing list of Happy Station listeners in my pocket, of course. What kind of weather do you have in that part of France right now?
Oh, it's a very sunny weather. You see, very nice weather.
Very nice or very funny?
Very sunny.
Oh, what's so fun? Oh, sunny. I thought you said funny. Apparently, you have got good reception so that you could hear our number clearly.
Yes,
that's right. You had the phone directly in the studio, and Tom would pick it up when it would ring, and the microphone could be on at that time, which is the reason why he announced that we'll play a record, and then you can call in. But that was all done through an operator, and you listened to it, because I didn't change anything in the sound for the master tape. That's actually how it went on the air. And taking into consideration that the show was only going out on shortwave, you really wonder, it must have been a pretty good signal if you can actually hear that low a volume on a call. So when they started to make this a bit of a regular feature, instead of just giving out the phone number, the easiest way for somebody to remember a phone number is by a jingle. And, well, that's exactly what they did.
If you want to help me to make other people smile, 215-013-227. All you have to do is just pick up your phone and dial 215-013-227. You may get through, and if you do, all the world will hear the chat we're having. So all you have to do is just pick up your phone and dial 215-013-227.
Yes, the old Radio Netherlands jingle from the early 1970s giving out the phone number for those who wanted to participate in one of the live call-in shows. You are listening to Media Network Plus coming to you from PCJ Radio International. And we're next going to talk about a radio that I actually have myself. Now, a lot of people like to listen to music while they take a shower. I mean, this gives a whole new meaning to singing in the shower. It's not just a shower radio, but it is actually a radio that is, well, powered by the shower. Joining us right now is Vivian Blick from Tango Group in the United Kingdom. Why are we talking to Vivian? Well, for those of you who enjoy singing in the shower, there's a way to do it now so you don't feel so alone. You can sing along with your favorite songs on the radio. Now, some of you are saying, wait a minute, shower radios, that's not unusual, but it is when, guess what? You don't have to worry about batteries. The radio will turn on when the water comes on, and that's it. That's all it is. Well, Vivian is with, like I said, Tango Group. Now, Vivian, before we talk about the H2O radio, I do want to put a little bit of background on this because you have been involved in alternative energy type receivers before, like the Free Play from Trevor Bayliss.
Yeah, that's right, Keith. Back in 1997, I basically started working with Trevor and the Free Play Energy Company, and we launched the world's first clockwork, as it was called then, and it's now more popularly called wind-up radio, which became a phenomenal success right across the world, and something that we aimed, I guess, initially for developing countries, ended up being as popular in the US and Australia and the UK as it did in Africa.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in the last few years, we've seen a corporation out of the United States called Eaton that has come out with a whole line of wind-up radios. There's also some from China, some being sold under the Grundig name. When you see that, you know, years after you came out with the clockwork one, which is different from the ones now because the ones now have a battery that stores the energy, you must look and go, wow, amazing how we've come so far.
It is interesting. I mean, Trevor's original idea for clockwork radio was, I guess, simple and to a degree crude, but no one else thought about it really before. Or if they had, they certainly not put it into a commercial situation. And what people like Eaton are doing today and Power Plus and all the other leading brands in wind-up, basically taking Trevor's idea to the next stage of technology, make it smaller, make it lighter, make it more efficient, make it more portable. And it's just you know, that technology just one step at a time improving to the point now you're going to buy a radio, so why not buy one that you can wind up or one that's got a solar panel built in as well as one that you can recharge anyway?
I still have one of the original Free Play radios that I bought when it first came out, and it's still working now, and it still provides great reception. It's a little bit bigger than some of the newer ones on the market, but it's a technology that works. Now, let's get on to this, you know, singing in the shower. Shower radios, of course, are nothing new, but there was always the problem with the batteries, and you've come up with an idea that is, if I can use the term, tapping into energy that already exists in the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly right, Keith. You know, we're always looking at ideas to say, okay, basically, how can we get some free energy? How can I get something for nothing or something from waste? So if you look at what solar panels are doing, you're getting sort of free energy, if you like, because it's coming from the sun. Or if you look at wind up, you're getting, okay, it's not free energy, you've got to fuel your body, but it's not costing you anything out of your pocket. And the same with the shower-powered radio. So what we did there was to look at ways of using energy that's there anyway. And if you look at the shower radio, what you're doing, you're already paying for the water that's going through the shower, which ends up going down your drain. And what we're doing, we're tapping into that along the way and saying, okay, let's use that energy. We bought it. We paid for it from the utility company. It's sort of ours to do what we want with, and we're going to take a shower. But by the way, we can also get that water to drive a small turbine, which will create electricity, which will run a small radio in the shower. In fact, actually, it's not so small in terms of sound either, which is quite good. And so you end up having a radio in the shower with a system that never needs a battery to be replaced, so you never, ever run out of music or news programs, and it's going to last you pretty well a lifetime.
You know, let me tell you how I'm using mine, because I have a small, low-powered FM transmitter at home that I have music coming off my iPod, and that's how I'm using it in the bathroom.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's a smart way to do it, sure. Yeah, that's clever, yeah.
Now, before you came out with this, because you recently just launched it, what kind of development and research and how long did it take to get it from the drawing paper to the production line to the shops?
Okay, that process in total is probably around 18 months from, let us say, well, first of all, you're probably looking at a two-year process in terms of, first of all, thinking of ways to just go through a mind process, a daydreaming process, if you like, you know, complete blue sky thinking, and then you sort of whittle out what is the impossible and what is maybe just about possible. And the next stage is you start sketching and jotting down ideas, and that whole process is perhaps a six-month process. Eventually, you pick up the tools and the soldering iron, and you go to the bench and you create a Frankenstein-type prototype, which I did, and literally using a garden hose pipe into the shed through a window, and that was my power source for energy, the water flowing through the garden hose pipe, to prove the concept. And sure enough, proved the concept. We could run a radio, just a standard radio, which actually was a wind-up radio that we just connected all the mechanism from, and built a turbine to drive it. And so we knew we had an idea. And then from then on, it's really working with the engineers in the Far East to develop the tooling, to make it miniature, to make it cost-effective, to make it energy efficient, to make it fit pretty well most showers around the world. And that whole process from is really another 18 months. So if you like, from the idea to having the launch with the first one on sale, is about a two-year process in total.
Now, the radio itself is very small, and it's just one thing. Now, there are some people out there that are saying, oh, this is just a little gadget, but you have to actually look at the bigger picture of what and where you can get energy from.
Well, that's true. I mean, you could say this radio is quite frivolous. Nobody needs a radio in the shower. Nobody does. But saying that, nobody needs a radio, period. Nobody needs a TV set either. But we are used to that. We're used to getting information anywhere we are. So this radio solves a problem in that if you have a radio in the shower, which in particularly in Europe, they're incredibly popular, you do end up having batteries that run flat. You don't change them because you're in the shower, so you're not going to hop out and go to the local supermarket buy new batteries. So you end up forgetting about it. The batteries corrode. The whole device gets thrown away after, you know, 6 months or a year. So this solves that problem. But as you say, the idea is also to think about what else can you do. Okay, so if we take it one step further, let's think about every time you flush your toilet, every time you take a bath, you use the washing machine, the dishwasher. They're all using water on demand, and every time that water flows to an appliance, it's possible it could flow through a turbine and we could use that energy to create electricity.
Do you see a time, because a lot of people are talking, of course, there's cars that are running on fusion and everything, do you see a time when, for example, water from the bathroom or the washing machine or from doing the dishes can be stored into a tank that through fusion can be used to produce energy at home? Do you see that time coming?
I think we're, to be honest, I'd like to say yes, but the reality is I think we're quite a long way away from that yet. But what we are doing is getting people's minds to open up. because we've been, as consumers, as users, whatever, we've been narrowly focused in terms of, well, we can plug it in, we can put batteries into it, whatever. Well, that's, you know, sooner or later, we're going to run out of oil to create the energy that we need to run those turbines to power everything in a house. And if you look at how many appliances you plug into the typical household today compared to, say, just 20 years ago, let alone 40 years ago, and we're just growing, you know, we've got sockets, you know, every meter around most properties now. So it's got to come a point where we just won't be able to plug everything else in. We've got to start thinking a little bit more alternatively about how we use power and how we create it. I wish we could create enough energy from, you know, these simple ideas, but I think we're quite a way away from that at this time. But hopefully we're stimulating the thought process that we may see that leap forward from, you know, some of the eminent scientists in the world today.
So it sounds like your hope is that somebody out there will get this radio, see it, and come up with an even better idea.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's a fantastic way to go. What we've done is not difficult. It's not complicated. But nobody else has done it before, not unlike what Trevor did sort of 15 years ago. What Trevor did was not clever, was not complicated, but it had not been done before. And when people saw it, and they said, oh, that's clever, I could have done that. But the point is always, nobody does. And the same will be true on the next stage of technology. It will be, I could have done that, but it takes someone to actually think through that openly and with an open mind and say, well, I will do it. And then, yeah, then things can really start to move. But we're still quite narrowly focused at this time.
Let's get back to the radio for a moment. There are some people I know right now are saying to themselves, okay, I finished my shower, I then turn the water off, I'm going to brush my teeth and quaff my hair and do whatever else they have to do. The radio turns off. Does it?
Well, no, because what it does, we are quite frugal people in terms of there's more energy flowing through your shower than you actually need to run the radio. So what we do two things. First of all, we run the radio, but secondly, we harvest any excess energy and we store that in a small rechargeable green-style battery. So that when you finish the shower, you turn off the faucet, you turn off the tap, basically you can carry on listening to the radio for a while afterwards because you've created or you've stored more energy than you actually need just for listening to the radio in the shower. Now, how long you listen to depends on how long you're in the shower, how high the volume was, and how quick your water flow rate was. So it's not exactly, I can't give you an exact answer, but typically the average user will get, you know, for every sort of 5 minutes of showering, they get another minute or so that they can listen to the radio outside of the running, without running water.
Let's talk about some of the other products that you have, because I was checking out your company's website. You have some absolutely fantastic things. You even have an alarm that you connect to your shower, showing you how long your shower is. That's quite special.
Yeah, that's a new product, which is just funny. I'm just leaving the factory now. We had a few delays on some of the technicals on that once we got it miniaturized. Again, using a micro turbine, this just goes in line with a shower head. And again, when you turn on the water, drives a micro turbine with a small electronic circuit inside that basically times you while the water is flowing. Gives a nice green, glowing green light, a ring of light around the unit, which basically for the first 4 minutes is green. After 4 minutes, it starts to glow blue. If you're in the shower for more than 8 minutes, it goes to red, which basically say, look, you know, you've been in the shower here now 8 minutes, and you need to sort of think about turning the taps off here, save some water, save some energy. If you stay in the shower for longer than 12 minutes, it will actually start flashing red. And that's sort of, you know, that's really telling you, you know, you really outstayed your welcome now, and you're hurting the planet as well as your own pocket. Because one thing people don't realize at the moment is, okay, water is still quite cheap at the moment, but with climate change, that may well change. But besides that, the cost to heat the water in a shower, people aren't really looking at those costs at the moment. But as rising fuel prices for energy carry on rising, the cost of a shower, as an example, or heating water, will become quite important. So the amount of time we spend in the shower will become a factor of a measurement in most households as we go forward over the next couple of years.
One thing that I found unique about this, and I've had this discussion with people, and they say, you know, some people will say, and I've heard this, oh, I'm only taking a 6-minute shower. Oh, maybe today I'll only take an 8-minute shower. But that's you. But if you take, say, 5,000 people or more, a couple of million people, that's a lot of water.
Well, that's a good point, Keith, because if you imagine most showers, most modern showers are running at something like, roughly, around about 10 litres per minute, or let's say roughly two sterling gallons per minute, 10 litres per minute. Well, that's a huge amount of water. You're in there for 5 minutes. That's 50 litres. You multiply that by everyone on the planet, that's a huge amount of water we're going through. And just 1 minute less has a huge impact. Not for one person, but if everyone thinks the same way, then that has a major impact.
All right, and finally on the program, before we end off, it's now time to take a look at our propagation. And Glenn Hauser told me that actually something did happen in this week's. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm sure I'll find out right now.
Keith, Tad Cook of ARRL Propagation says there were no sunspots on June 3rd to 6th. 2015 had zero spotless days. The last time there were four or more spotless days was December 18th to 24th, 2010, when there were no sunspots for an entire week. From IPS in Australia, the global HF propagation forecast through June 18th. Normal at low latitudes, normal to fair at middle latitudes, normal to poor at high latitudes. From Space Weather South Africa through June 18th, magnetic conditions quiet to unsettled, shortwave fadeouts unlikely, MUF unstable. From Met Office UK through June 19th, solar activity low or very low, a risk of geomagnetic storms. Peter Coleman in Prague says the geomagnetic field will be quiet to active on June 17th, 18th, 23rd, 24th, 26th, and 27th. Quiet on June 19th, 20th, and July 1st. Mostly quiet on June 21st, 22nd, 29th, 30th, July 5th and 6th. Quiet to unsettled on June 25th, 28th, and July 4th. Active to disturbed July 2nd and 3rd. From SWPC in Boulder, the geomagnetic field is expected to be at unsettled to active levels on June 17th, 22nd to 24th, 26th and 27th. And Candace is peaking at 12 and 4 on June 16th and 24th. G1 minor storming likely on July 2nd and 3rd, with A's and K's of 25 and 5. Lowest A's and K's of 5 and 2 on June 18th to 22nd and 28th to July 1st. William Hepburn's VHF UHF DX maps show extreme tropospheric ducting along the Texas and Louisiana coasts Saturday morning, June 18th. Off Baja California from June 19th, off Angola and Namibia, June 18th and 19th, over the central and eastern Mediterranean from June 20th, all week between West Africa and Cape Verde, and still all around the Arabian Peninsula as far as India.
All right, thanks a lot, Glenn. And with that, we've come to the end of the program. Have a pleasant weekend, 73 and 88 to the ladies.
This is Media Network Plus.